Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Happiness Habits Transformation Podcast, the place to discover the happiness habits that inspiring women have used to transform their daily routines, bringing them clarity, peace, and joy. I'm your host, Michelle Reeve, former life coach and author of The Happiness Habits Transformation. In today's episode, I'm joined by former professional dancer and founder of Dancebox, Ilana Gambrill, for an inspiring discussion about moving our bodies with acceptance and joy. Ilana started Dancebox after experiencing the immense healing power of dance after a challenging childhood and wanting to change the narrative for herself and others. Ilana says, I grew up believing that I was nothing, that I wasn't deserving of holding my own place in the room. I was very anxious and I just knew that I couldn't continue. I made the decision to heal it and I chose to heal it with other people as well. It was difficult to rewire, but knowing I could help others spurred me on. In our conversation today, you'll hear about Ilana's own journey of healing through dance and how the reality of professional dance world didn't bring the joy that she expected it to. Movement as a raw and natural expression and one of the most natural forms of medicine that can help us to release the mask we wear in public and on social media. How Ilana is teaching women to be unapologetic in their passion and truth and the authenticity and confidence that comes from releasing ourselves in dance. Dispelling the narrative, I can't be sexy because I'm a mum, the habits that help Ilana to maintain her own energy and power on a daily basis following a mental breakdown in 2020, and more about Ilana's Dancebox app that allows anyone to join a dance class from anywhere in the world. Now, while you're listening today, think about how you can take what you learn and put it into practice. Take action in any way that's meaningful for you. And as always, you'll find the links and details of today's show and all the other shows in this series at my website, michellereeveswrites.com/podcast. But before we get to today's interview, in this episode's mini personal update, I'm delighted that the Happiness Habits Transformation audiobook has been live now on Google Play for a couple of weeks. And it means so much to me to have it in an accessible form now so that hopefully anyone can access it in a way that works best for them. I'm also a bit overwhelmed that this little book is now award-winning, following the announcement that it's the recipient this month of the Gold Book Award from Literary Titan. But as grateful as I am for this reward, what really lights me up is reading the stories of readers who are applying the happiness habits in their own lives and loving it. So if you've bought a copy or are planning to, please do take a moment to leave a review wherever you found it. It really means the world to me and will help other people to see it in those algorithm-driven online stores we're all so familiar with now. In other news, it's only a few weeks until the summer break for my two kids, and as a heads up, I'm going to be taking a break from the podcast myself during the holidays to concentrate on family time and writing. But not today, so let's get back to today's show with Ilana. Ilana, it's absolutely amazing to have you joining us today, so thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Not everyone's going to know your background and your story, and I really want to share that with everyone because it is so inspiring. So let's kick off. Tell us a little bit about you and the challenges you've had to overcome to get where you are today.
Okay, where do I start? So my name's Ilana Gambrill and I run a company called Dancebox. Dancebox is a company basically designed to allow the everyday human being to come and dance and be unapologetic with that, to learn a new skill and to release the, shall I say, the shackles of society that is wrapped around our bodies. I designed this purely because I'm an ex-professional dancer, and I absolutely love dance with my whole entire body. I started it when I was 12 years old. And I started it because I really wanted to escape some things that were going on at home. And a load of girls at my high school said, oh, we go to this dance school. And I said, I want to come. And after begging my family, my mum and dad, for a long time, they said, all right, go to dance class, see what happens. And I went, and basically, I fell in love with myself. I fell in love with the freedom it made me feel. I fell in love with the escapism, the elation. And when I hit the dance industry professionally from the age of 18, I found that it was all of the opposite to that. So it was quite toxic. It was quite painful. It was, you know, they promoted you to be a certain way, look a certain way. You had to turn up in a way that didn't serve your body, your soul, your spirit. And it slowly killed me. It slowly killed everything, all the passion that I had in my system. So when I was 27, I decided to take the dance back into my own hands, the movement of the joy and the healing of it and the power of it. And I opened up a dance class called Ilana's Adult Dance Class. A lot of people at the time thought it was sexual dance classes because it was called Ilana's Adult Dance Class. And basically, I decided to pour into the everyday human being the joy and the power of dance. And then Dancebox was born.
I just love your story, Ilana, because there's so much inspiration in people taking control of their situation. And I know you didn't have the best childhood and you had a lot of challenges there that you had to overcome. But the fact that you kind of grabbed life by the neck, if you like, and shook it a bit and said, no, this is not the way I want it to be, I think is really inspiring. What I find particularly interesting is how you had this love of dance from a very early age and it gave you what you needed from it. But then when you went pro, it's something about the industry took that away from you. And I find that it's really interesting the parallels that we can call with, you know, how people feel about themselves. And then maybe they go, I don't know, on social media or what have you, and they see society's expectations of the way they're supposed to look, feel, show up for themselves, and it makes them feel less than. Would you say there are some kind of parallels?
Of course. And I think like what you just said, I think is such a raw and natural thing for a human being to do. I mean, people back in the day, Aborigines, they used to use it as medicine. And then all of a sudden we hit the world that we live in, and it's, if you want to go pro, you know, at my dance college it was quite accepted and promoted for you to have an eating disorder to get to where you needed to be to look behind an artist or on the West End or anything like that. Not all dance colleges are like that, but the one I fell into was really, really toxic. And then the industry itself, I've learned now that it's definitely changed, but the industry itself, I thought it would be different, but you're really berated for the way you look. And also if you're not good enough, so you're constantly told you don't look good enough. You don't dance good enough. You're always compared to other people. So you look at social media and everything that we've got going on today, it's a constant comparison. You're comparing yourself to so-and-so that you follow. You're comparing yourself to their success, the way they look, the what things that they do, the where they're at. And you look at yourself and you think, I don't have all of those things and I don't look that way. And we're constantly in this state of our joy being stolen from us, because we are constantly comparing ourselves, and comparison is the thief of joy. And I just feel like with the space like Dancebox, you get to release the mask, you get to release all the expectations the world wants of you, the labels that you have. So I was born into this world and all of a sudden my name is this, I need to be a good girl and that looks like this. I'm now a job, this is my job role, so I need to make sure that I act that way. I'm also now a mum, so I have to be this way. A wife too, so that way. And you come into my room and I don't want any labels. I don't want society. I want you. I want your soul, your spirit, the one before everyone got into your ear holes about how you should be. I want you to release social media and I want you to dance freely while being screamed at by this human being that is like, come on. And then it all pours out in tears, in laughter, in sickness. People throw up, in joy, in anger. The things you see on that dance floor, it's like a therapy session.
That's just incredible. And I bet the atmosphere in the room is completely amazing and electric. And as you say, movement can be so therapeutic. And I've certainly had a number of yoga teachers on the show who have talked about how movement can release so many emotional energies within us that quite often get repressed. And I'm guessing dance sure. very much the same for you and your clients. You talked a little bit about being a wife and a mother. In terms of those kind of parts of your life, how did you do you think those changed you? Because you did allude to the fact that you felt you had to kind of fit a certain mold for those roles.
Well, I mean, I'm not a wife anymore. I'm divorced, and I'm also not a mother. But I mean, the women that come into my classes are majority of them are wives and mothers, and they tend to. There's a narrative. I can't be sexy because I'm a mum, and I can't be powerful and throw myself about like this because, you know, I'm a wife and I should stand a certain way and I should act a certain way. And we forget the beauty of the divine feminine that's within us. And I see that their shoulders are slumped forward sometimes, and their body language says I'm kind of closed off. And I'm kind of, you know, my life has been for the last however many years to serve other people, whether it be my husband, whether it be my children. And I've completely forgotten what turns me on and what makes me me. So when they come in and they're given permission to release for a second the fact that they're here to serve their children and the fact that they're here to serve their husbands or whatever their spouse may look like, I see this. It's like almost a light is switched on. Their shoulders go slightly more back. Their head raises. Their eyes brighten. And they release something from their gut. It's like, oh, I forgot what being me feels like.
And it's so powerful, isn't it, to have that reminder of yourself. I wonder how many of the women that join your classes and join Dancebox change other areas of their life, because it obviously had such a profound effect on you and on your life. Do you have other stories of people coming onto your classes and then kind of changing other areas of your life?
Michelle, where do I start? I have a pool of husbands around the world that hate me because there's been a lot of women that have found the power to release themselves from marriages that don't feel good and haven't felt good for many years. There's I'm one of them. I was married and I felt very, very small and quiet and just a very different human to who I was in the dance studio and who I was when I was just free. And that didn't sit well with me anymore. I was two different people, and that was quite painful. How do you cope with being one person and then another person? Like, where's my authenticity? And because I'm teaching women to be unapologetic and loud and themselves, I felt like a fraud. So over time, that trickled into my own personal life, and I couldn't do it anymore. Not only with marriages, a lot of the women that I've taught have gone, do you know what? I am drowning in my corporate job. I'm drowning in the chasing the money world. And I want to do this with my life. And they've gone and done it. That is, it's quite overwhelming, the testimonies. So I don't really penetrate them because I get so overwhelmed by the changes in these women's lives.
Although I guess what you're doing is you're an enabler. So you're enabling them in very much the same way as a coach does. You know, you're enabling people to kind of open themselves up to that place where they've, as you say before, they've forgotten them, their true selves. And I guess in a way to kind of unleash that inner self and to overcome the self-doubt, the layers of self-doubt that I think, you know, often life and situations and society and whatever, marriages, whatever, kind of almost cover us up with those layers of self-doubt, don't they? And I guess with the dance and the movement and the emotion, where you're enabling them to strip away that self-doubt. Are there any situations where, you know, that things need to be taken a step sort of further with people? Like, do you do one-to-one classes with people? You know, is there a progression that people take through Dance Box, or is it something that people can just come to and just experience in their own way and take from it whatever they want to?
Pre-pandemic, I used to do private classes as well as real life classes. I used to do 6 real life classes a week, and then I would have about 10 one-to-ones a week as well with all different people. And then during the pandemic, I ended up going online because I didn't know what else to do to keep the business surviving. And now where we're at now, I don't actually have the time to do one-on-one classes. I now have my own app where you can basically get everything you need in one space. And then I do these pop-up classes, actually only in London at the moment, but we are planning to take them across the UK and maybe a bit further afield as well. The thing is, it's got so intense, the therapy side of it, that it's, you kind of get your cup filled whether you are turning up online, no matter where you are in the world, or whether you turn up to my studio. It wasn't as intense as it is now. Mm. I used to do 1-hour classes 6 days a week, and it was powerful and empowering. But now it's taken a turn that means I can't not teach the way I do now. I have to look after my own self, because I give so much within a class, not just dancing. It's the way I speak. It's the way, what I see, it's what I feel, that I can't do the one-on-ones, to be honest, as much as I used to, or at all, to be honest. You know, there was an example. I had a 67-year-old woman that came to class last month. She's never danced before. She's never done anything like this before, but she kept seeing it online and she decided to come. And I do this this mandatory thing from the corner where I make people just walk across the floor one by one to powerful songs. And we all cheer each other and we support each other. And it's very, very amazing. The energy is off the scale. She was petrified to go across the room. And I said, it's no problem, I'll do it with you. It got to a space and she said, no, I'm gonna go on my own. And she went across the room on her own. She took her time, she went slowly. She was touching her body, she was being cheered by other people. And she said to me at the end of the class, I'm 67 and I have never felt that I can show up for myself. I have never felt that I can touch my body and be accepted. I have never felt that I can be sexy. She said, I am a mum of 3. I've been a wife for, I think she said something like 30 something years. And she said, I have never felt alive. And I'm doing it for those people. I do what I do for people that are early 20s and feel lost and scared in the world that we live in with all social media. And I'm doing it for 67-year-olds who have never had the permission to just feel like a beautiful woman or man.
Mm.
I cried my eyes out. It's so special.
And but it must take a toll on you as well, Ilana. I mean, that amount of energy that you're giving out, although you're getting a lot back from the classes, how do you maintain your own energy? And do you have routines or habits that you have put in place to fill up your own cup?
Mm-hmm. It does take a lot out of me. And actually, it used to be a lot worse than it is now because of the routines that I've put in place. I had a breakdown in 2020. I had a mental breakdown because I was never saving my energy and it was all external. So I was empty and I didn't know how to fill it back up again. It took me about 6 months, to be honest. But now, after class, before class, I center myself, I do breathing exercises, I ground myself, and I make sure that I am protected. And that's just through breath work and visualization. I put like a beautiful light around me and I center my body and ground my body through breath. And then post the class, I do the exact same thing. And now I can literally finish a class and 2 days later, I'm back again. Fully. It does take a couple of days though, still. But I think everyone that's empathetic, every giver, every person that heals other people through whatever medium they choose to, they're going to feel a little bit depleted post it, especially when you're doing it en masse with a lot of people in one room.
Mm. And I think there's a personality thing sometimes too, as well. I know when I had a number of coaching clients who were introvert, I'm an introvert myself. Not that I don't like sort of mixing with people. I'm quite happy speaking in public and talking on stage, but more from an energy point of view, in that I get, and in my sort of my own energy, I fill my own cup up when I am solitary on my own, and then I can give that out to other people. And I can imagine it's very similar for you. You're giving out so much energy, you need to replace that energy yourself, whether that's, I don't know, through dance on your own, or through, as you say, through breath work, etc. And I would imagine you must have, you know, other people within the classes who are totally depleted by the end of the classes.
No, I mean, they're not. They're full as can be. I get messages the next day saying, I'm bouncing off the walls, I feel amazing. And I'm sat at home in solitude, can't speak, can't type. And I'm like, I'm not. But no, I feel... I'm exactly the same as you. I need to have a little day to myself, day and night, and hardly any speaking to anyone. And that fills me right back up. I'm a massive extrovert as well. So whenever I'm in company, I'm in the room. Do you know what I mean? So when I'm alone, I'm silent. I like to talk to myself a lot as well, but I can't even talk to myself after classes.
And do you journal? Is there any other kind of output that
you
journal, or?
Every morning I journal.
Uh-huh.
If my morning is really busy and it goes crazy from 6 a.m., then I'll journal of an evening. I meditate daily. If I don't meditate and center myself, I can be all over the place. I'm a feisty Aries woman with a lot of energy. So if I don't center that, I'm everywhere, 1,000 miles per hour. So yeah, I try to slow myself down, especially as I'm getting deeper into this and how it looks is so important for me.
And I should imagine also, you know, what you're creating really is a community of women who are feeling more empowered and more in control and more able to take charge of their life and start making maybe the decisions that they haven't done previously. Do you see that as being the future of Dancebox? Do you have any plans to kind of extend that out into a sort of a wider community type experience?
Yes, I definitely do. I'm actually in talks at the minute to larger spaces and in different parts of the world. And I think the only reason why I want to expand it and get more women involved, men as well, is because I see what happens to the women that come to my classes in London. And I'm like, it's selfish to keep it in one space. It needs to be felt across the world.
Absolutely. I'm more power to you for that. And because I think in a way, the dance is the vehicle, but the expression that people are getting from it is way beyond just the movement in their body, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just say dance, it looks like a dance class. It smells like a dance class, but it ain't a dance class. The dancing is the icing on the cake.
Mm.
It's actually a platform where human beings can just be. And it's like, things I've seen, like a couple of weeks ago, there was a beautiful girl that came. She forgot the routine and she was just crawling all over the floor. She was running up and down the room. She was screaming. And at the end, she said to me, she was born and raised into a very religious household that suppressed any desires that were natural to her. And now she is trying to find that. And it just all came out in that space. And she didn't even remember the routine. It didn't even matter. She was just getting it out and feeling herself, feeling who she is and who she wants to be. That's what Dancebox is.
It sounds amazing. And I just want to touch on that, because if there's women are listening, or men as well, because we do have some men listen, and they're liking the sound of this. Talk us through a little bit about what an experience of Dance Box is. So if people are a little bit nervous, got a little bit of trepidation about dance, maybe haven't moved their bodies as much as they maybe would have wanted to, mm-hmm. and a little bit nervous about getting started, talk us through exactly kind of what happens in a Dance Box class.
First of all, I will just hold your listeners for a second and just say that they're not alone. There's not one person that's entered my room that's felt not nervous. Everyone that walks in is anxious, they're nervous, they're fearful. They do it because they see what the results are online and they pray that potentially that could happen to them. So first of all, that's completely normal. Secondly, movement doesn't, if you're led by someone that doesn't care what happens in that class, if you're safe, movement is not a scary space to be. And it's I want everyone to remember that movement is actually one of the most, if we're able-bodied human beings and our limbs work beautifully, then movement is one of the natural forms of medicine. I don't want people to see it as it's scary and it's hard and our body hasn't done it for so long and our body's not used to that. Whatever happens in a Dance Box space happens, and there's no judgment. And what it looks like is everyone walks in, they all mingle, I really encourage it. And then I sit them down and I make them feel safe. I let them know how safe they are. And everyone starts, you see their shoulders like dropping away from their earlobes, and you see like their face brightening up a little bit more. I get them up and I warm them up and I make sure their bodies are abled for whatever I throw at them. Then we'll go into our confidence strut, which is mind-blowing energy from the get-go. And then I teach the weekly routine, which can either be challenging on the body or a little bit more easier. But each routine is actually designed to unlock and unleash something within you. To usual songs, like powerful songs, but like people we all hear on the radio every day, Beyonce, J-Lo, Lizzo, all of that sort of music. And then I call them down and turn all the lights off and I put on a really beautiful song and I ask them to lie there and meditate and feel what their bodies are feeling. Feel the gratitudes, feel the power, feel the strength, feel the tears, the emotions, whatever. And that's when all of it starts pouring out. And then it closes and it's like nothing you've ever experienced before. And everyone leaves going, why have I left it this long? Like, I'm so, so gutted that I didn't trust myself enough and I felt nervous. And that's Dance Box.
It just sounds so magical. And I know that it you know, there will be people that, oh, I'm just not sure if it's right for me. But I love that you walked us through that, because so much self-doubt is just fear of the unknown. And I think sometimes if we can unpack some of these things, just make it feel a little bit more normal, people are going to feel like they're able to have a go. And you don't, and as you were saying, I think you don't have to go to one of your classes in person. You've got the at-home app as well that people can just have a go at in their own living room.
Yes, and I think that's why it's such a success, because I think doing it in the space of your own comfort, not having anyone looking at you, you can be and act how you need to, has been a lifesaver for some people. And the real scared ones that always message me that are subscribers to the app, they've always been like, I'm never going to make the real life class. And I'd say 99% of them have made a real life class after dancing with me on the app for a little while.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, people travel from far. It's very overwhelming.
I'm not surprised. But you're making such a big difference in people's life, so that must feel amazing in itself as well. And what are you particularly excited about at the moment for what's coming up from Dance Box? What kind of the new plans that you've got that you're thinking about kind of taking this to the next level?
There's some things that I can't mention, but I'm very excited overall. I tend to sort of work in silence and then be like, here you go. And I don't, every time I've spoken, they never happen. So I'm just keeping everything cute right now until I go, okay, here you go.
But I'm sure there's some amazing things in place. So in the meantime, if people are kind of interested in finding out kind of a bit more about Dancebox and how it all works, where's the best place for them to find out?
I think the best place is my Instagram page, which is at Dancebox Official, one word, and or my website, www.dance-box.co.uk.
Fantastic. And just one thing I did want to ask you, Ilana, is in terms of your kind of own practice and in terms of how you use dance yourself, is it different to the routines that you're doing on Dancebox? Have you got your own kind of way of integrating dance into your life?
So funny you should say that. Yesterday morning I was in another country. I was leaving to pack for to come home, and me and my mom, I went away with my mom, and I put music on and I just was like, oh mom, I need to release. And I literally jump around, fling my body wherever it wants to go. There's no judgment, there's no routine, there's no nothing. And I think that's, for me, my therapy. When I teach routines, it's a different kind of release, but just being, not even thinking about how I look and not thinking, oh, I need to be strong here and I need to do this part of the routine like this, is so freeing for me. Ecstatic dance, I call it.
Oh, when sounds amazing. Love a bit of ecstasy. There's nothing wrong with that. And in terms of what tips do you have for anyone listening today who, you know, a lot of my listeners are either perimenopausal or just getting to that stage in their lives where self-doubt is starting to creep back in again, you know, hormones are starting to rage again. We're going back to that kind of pre-teenage years when everything starts to get a bit weird in our bodies and our minds and we're kind of not really feeling quite ourselves again. And what tips might you have for anyone listening to overcome some of that self-doubt, to really tune into themselves again, and any practical tips that you have to help people move forward?
I can't speak for the hormones that take over when it comes to perimenopause or the menopause. I think that hormones can be so intense and hard to override, but from my personal experience when I was a teenager and my hormones were rife, honestly, the only thing that got me through was moving my body and silencing just for a second the lazy thoughts, the thoughts that I couldn't, the thoughts that told me that I shouldn't. And I just got up, made sure that no one was in the home, I was alone, and I just moved. And the more that I moved, more my hormones would sort of shift into a place of, I don't know, being rational, because as a teenager, my hormones were not rational at all. And that's the only tips I can give, really, I think, is constantly push past or try your hardest to push past the feelings that say, just sit down today, just let it off today. Honestly, I'll try to override that as much as I can. Listen to our bodies and love our bodies and what they're talking to us. But if it's a everyday situation, today's going to be the day that you stand up.
Oh, I love that. It's so powerful. And I think you're right. We do have to listen to our bodies, but there are times when maybe that kind of inner voice doesn't serve us. Mm-hmm. And we need to overcome some of that programming and like you say, just unleash that fire within that maybe has been a bit dormant for a bit too long. So I absolutely love that. And Ilana, time is against us, but I do want to make sure that people have a chance to access all the goodness that is Dancebox. So do make sure you pop over to the website, guys, and do follow Ilana on Instagram, where you'll see loads of great energy. There's some amazing videos on there, so do make sure you tune into those and get a real feeling for the energy and emotion that Ilana is able to pull out of everybody. And it has just been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, Ilana. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
Okay, that's it for today's show. And as I mentioned earlier, you'll find all the links for this episode and previous episodes in this series in the show notes at michellereeveswrites.com www.happinesshabits.com/podcast. And hey, if you did enjoy this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could take 5 minutes and leave a comment and review where you're listening today. I love to hear from you. It makes this more of a conversation. And due to the way these platforms work, it really does mean that others will more easily find the show. Thanks so much for listening today. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.